Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Shane Kennedy, a youth minister at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ. Let's tune in now for Shane's message.
When I was a kid, the earliest Bible that I remember my parents reading for me was a Bible called the Beginner's Bible. It looks a little bit like this. Some of you may remember this Bible. Maybe you had it as a kid, or maybe as a parent, you read it to your children. But this is the first Bible that I remember my parents reading to me. And it's an illustrated storybook or picture book Bible that is really meant for kids and tries to tell the stories in a way that children can understand. But one of my favorite stories for my parents to read out of this Bible was the story of Paul and Silas in jail. If you don't remember that story, Paul and Silas were sharing the message of Jesus in a city called Philippi when they were wrongfully arrested and put in jail. And in the middle of the night, rather than despairing in their situation, Paul and Silas are found praying and singing to God. For some reason, as a kid, I just love that story, and it's still one of my favorites today. I think the reason is because Paul and Silas are able to have this surprising joy even in a terrible situation. Well, as we face our trial of this global pandemic that's going on right now, I think we can learn something from the story of Paul and Silas. So today we're going to dig a little deeper into that story, and we're going to look at, as followers of Jesus, as disciples, how do we respond to trials that we face? Our world is filled with fear and anxiety right now, and understandably so. There is a lot to be anxious about as we face this world health crisis. And as you look around you, as you scroll through your social media feed, or you watch different news networks, or even as you have conversations with people, sometimes we're seeing this fear, anxiety that people are having. Sometimes it comes out of people's lives in some unhealthy or hurtful ways. Sometimes fear and anxiety can come out as anger. And I'm sure you've seen that. Sometimes it can come out as impatience or frustration with other people. Sometimes it comes out as selfishness or even arrogance. I know that I've even seen it in myself. I think I've had an extra level of stress as we've gone through this time. I've had more trouble sleeping than I've ever had before. And I know that there's been moments whenever I've been short with my wife or with my children. And I think some of that is this anxiety inside of me spilling out in an unhealthy way. And I know I've turned to sometimes some unhealthy ways of dealing with it. Sometimes it's overeating or binging on too much television. But I think many of us are struggling right now. And I think it's okay to say that. I think we need to be honest with ourselves and with one another, that it's okay to have some fear. It's okay to be anxious right now. But I think as followers of Jesus, we need to be aware of how we are responding to the fear in our lives and how we are letting it spill out of our lives. I think that our response as disciples of Jesus to this trial should look different than the rest of the world's. I think our response as Christians to what's going on could actually be a powerful witness to the world of the God that we serve. So let's look at the story of Paul and Silas. You can find the story in the second half of Acts chapter 16. Paul was traveling throughout the Mediterranean world, and he was spreading the message of Jesus. And Silas was one of his traveling companions. And they come to the city of Philippi, which is located in modern-day Greece. And there in the city, as they're walking through the city one day, they encounter this slave girl who is possessed by an evil spirit. And it says that her slave owners profit off of her because they claim that this evil spirit has given her the ability to tell the future. And so these slave owners are profiting off of this troubled slave girl. And she starts following Paul and Silas around, and she's shouting behind them. And she's saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling the way to be saved." And she does this for several days. Now, though she speaks the truth, I don't think that would be very helpful in trying to share your faith with others if you have this person who's mentally unhealthy behind you shouting. I think that would make it hard to be able to share their faith. And Paul becomes so annoyed that he turns to the woman and he, in the name of Jesus, heals her of this condition. So the woman is freed of the spirit that has tormented her for probably a good portion of her life. But her owners, rather than being amazed at this miracle that has happened, or rather at being thankful or rejoice over this woman no longer dealing with this problem, rather they are upset because they now cannot make money off of her anymore. And so they seize Paul and Silas and they drag them to the authorities. And they claim that Paul and Silas have been causing an uproar in the city, that they've been teaching customs that were unlawful for Romans to accept or practice. And though Paul and Silas had done nothing wrong, they are arrested and they are severely beaten and they are put in jail. They are treated like criminals. Shackles are put on them and they are put in a jail cell. And I cannot imagine what that experience was like for Paul and Silas to sit in that jail that night. I wonder if I was in their place, if I was in their shoes, what my mindset or my perspective would have been. It could have been very easy to be really angry to the people who did this to you. It could have been easy for them to maybe even be angry at God for allowing this to happen. It would have been very natural to be overcome with fear or anxiety as they worry about what happens next. But here is Paul and Silas's perspective that night in Acts 16, verse 25. "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them." So Paul and Silas prayed and sang songs to God. Now, I understand the praying part. I think if I was in their position and I was locked in a jail cell, I would be doing a lot of praying. But it's the singing that gets me. That here they are in this terrible situation, and their response is to worship. Their response is to praise God. That's pretty amazing to me. And it got people's attention. It said that the other prisoners were listening to them. You see, the other prisoners probably hadn't seen people respond to trial in that kind of way. It's surprising to have that kind of joyful worship in the midst of such a difficult situation. And it caused the other prisoners to take notice. Well, the story gets even crazier from there. An earthquake hits the prison, but this is no normal earthquake. Whenever the earthquake hits, it causes everyone's chains to fall off and the prison doors to open. But Paul and Silas don't leave. They remain in the prison along with the rest of the prisoners. And the jailer comes in and he's afraid because he thinks all the prisoners have escaped. And he even draws his own sword and he's getting ready to take his own life because he's afraid of the consequences of allowing the prisoners to escape. But Paul and Silas shout out to him. They say, "Don't harm yourself. We're still here." And they actually, from there, have an opportunity to actually witness to the jailer about Jesus, that they're able to share with him the good news of Jesus. And the jailer and his entire family become followers of Jesus that night. It's put this way in verse 34. It says, "The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole household." And the next day, Paul and Silas are released from prison because the authorities realized that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens and that their rights had been violated. And so they were freed and escorted out of the city. But what an amazing story. So what can we learn from Paul and Silas in how we respond to this trial that we are facing? What can we learn for how we should face fear or anxiety? Well, the first lesson that I take away from this story is that we should lean into God when we face trials. Years later, Paul writes a letter to the church in Philippi that he helped start. And it was very likely that the jailer and his family were a part of this church as this letter was read to them. And Paul writes this encouragement in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. And as you read it, it very much reminds you of the trial that Paul and Silas faced of that night they sat in jail. This is one of my favorite verses. I know the teens probably get tired of me sharing it, but this is one I've heard many times read during this pandemic, and rightfully so. I think it's a very helpful verse during this time. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It's interesting that as Paul writes these words, he again is sitting in a jail cell. This time it's not in Philippi, but it's in Rome. And again, he's sitting in jail because of his faith, because he was sharing the message of Jesus with others. And so as he sits in a jail cell, he writes to the Philippian church, "Rejoice in the Lord always." See, when you follow Jesus, your joy is not tied to your circumstances. That you can have joy no matter what you face because you know you have a God that loves you. You know you have a God that sent his son to die for you, who is working for your good, and who has secured an eternal future for you with him. So you can have joy even in difficult circumstances. You can have this surprising kind of joy that Paul and Silas were able to have that night in the prison. Because like Paul writes in this verse, the Lord is near. Well, in this verse, he encourages us to lift up our anxieties and our fears to God. And he says that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Another way of saying this peace that transcends all understanding is saying a peace that doesn't make sense. See, Paul and Silas displayed that in that jail that night, that they had a peace that didn't make sense in the moment, and it got people's attention. Maybe you've seen that in another person's life, that maybe they were going through a really difficult time, but they were able to have a peace that just didn't make sense for the moment. And I think when we're able to have that kind of peace, which is a gift from God, in challenging and difficult moments, I think it is a powerful witness to the people around us. They realize that something is different about you, and it causes people to take notice, causes people to pay attention and to be curious about what it is that you have that allows you to have peace in that moment. Well, the second lesson I think we can learn from their story is to lean into the mission that God has given us, even during trials. You see, Paul and Silas didn't let their current circumstances keep them from advancing the kingdom of God. Even after being arrested and beaten and thrown in jail and facing an earthquake, they still were ready for the opportunity to be able to share Jesus with someone, as they shared Jesus with the jailer and the rest of his family. They were still focused on making disciples because they wanted other people to know Jesus and the hope that you can have in him. So how do you have that kind of perspective? I think that's hard during trials. You know, I think Paul and Silas, the way that they were able to have that kind of perspective was not because they were so awesome, but rather I think it's because they had a strength that comes only from God. That God's spirit was alive inside of them and allowed them to respond in a way that was beyond their circumstances, respond in a way that was out of the ordinary for what they were facing. So yes, I think Paul and Silas experienced fear and experience anxiety. But Paul and Silas, that even though they had fear, they chose to worship in their fear. Even though they had anxiety, they chose to stay faithful to the mission that God had given them. So as we think about how we respond to this trial and how we respond to fear and anxiety in our own lives, rather than responding with anger coming out of our lives, may we seek the kind of peace that we can find when we turn to God in prayer. Rather than being impatient or selfish, may we be people who have compassion for those in need and those who are hurting and look to serve. Rather than being discouraged or defeated by the situation, may we cling to the hope that we have in Jesus, and may we want to share that hope with others. So let us respond in a way that's different than the rest of the world. May we respond in such a way that it surprises people in a good way and causes them to take notice. May we respond in a way that allows us to witness to others about the love of Jesus. You have a blessed day. I look forward to seeing you soon.